He was actually in the new Happy Gilmore.
He was. He was Uncle John.
That movie was terrible. I did watch it. It sucked.
I thought it was just as good as the first one, honestly.
You fucking liar.
Welcome to Nice Ashes. Join hosts Mike and Nate for cigars and culture. Let's go beyond the smoke.
What are we smoking, Mike?
We are smoking the Tatiana Classic Honey. Now, I heard a rumor.
I think it's just the honey, though, isn't it? Like, it's not a classic honey.
My label says Tatiana Classic Honey.
Oh, yeah, the little barcode, but the actual cigar label doesn't say Classic Honey. The only reason I ask is because I ran around to all these different cigar shops to try and get an extra one. And it was funny because where I started, there was a cigar shop on the other side of the parking lot, but I didn't know it was there. And I went to like four other cigar shops, and then I came back to that one, and that was the only one that had the honey. And so when you said classic honey, I was like, oh no, I got the wrong one, but I didn't. So crisis averted.
Perfect. Now, I heard you say you had to run around to get a cigar. Now, did you or did you not smoke the original one when you were too inebriated to remember? Or
I did not smoke it, but I'm double fisting it this time. I thought if one is good, two's got to be better.
Two's got to be better. I love it.
No, we have a guest on this episode, and he's been on before, and we've got Jordan. He's on with a new, what would you say, Jordan? Business venture?
Yeah, I would say a new business venture. It's good to be back. Good to see you guys. Good to be here. Yeah, so I was on before with JTM Sourcing. JTM Sourcing is still alive, still breathing, still going strong. I sort of got to a point where my business was too much of a roller coaster for me. So I kind of ventured off a little bit and was doing a little too much for other people with their logos, and decided, you know what would be really cool? If I created a brand myself and put my own logo on a shirt, as I was doing a little bit of copyright infringement to some degree for a little bit there, and putting other logos on my shirts of companies that I like, but I didn't want to pay the astronomical prices for, and decided just to kind of start my own thing. So here to kind of represent that and let you guys know everything that's going on with it.
That sounds awesome. And speaking of astronomical prices, this Tatiana honey cost me about $5 and some odd cents. So nothing but the best for our guest Jordan here. We're going to get lit up, and then we'll light the cigars too. And then we will find out more about Jordan's new thing. So the cap tastes a little bit like honey, I guess. Is that your experience, Mike?
It's sweet, but grainy. It's not...
Okay, mine wasn't grainy. It was... it felt a little spicy, to be honest. Not completely like honey. It like cut thick, like I was cutting honey. But
I got a little bit of spice myself. Like it wasn't like it was like spicy. It was more like it was almost like a cinnamon honey.
Interesting.
That could be like an apple cider almost.
Yeah, I think that it almost like an apple cider vinegar. You know, it's kind of like that. It's just an interesting. I liked it.
Now, Jordan brought us over, Mike, some sweet, sweet swag, which we'll get to you as well. But he also brought a beverage that I'm going to have him tell you about and the listeners about.
So this goes back to like 2017. My cousin went to the state fair, and at the state fair, there was a grain belt stand of some sort. And it was when Grain Belt Blue, the blueberry lager, came out for the first time. And what they had there was they had that in a slushy machine. And then what they were doing was they were pouring Shell's Dark into it after it came out of the slushy machine. And my cousin had it, and he said it was amazing, and decided, you know, we don't necessarily need a slushy machine to be able to make this. So he got both of them, came over to my place, introduced me to it back in like 2017, and it's been one of my staples. And it's one of those things where it's a seasonal because of Grain Belt Blue only being in the summer season. But it is one of the better drinks, and it's just a 50-50 split of Grain Belt Blue and Shell's Dark. But I promise you, if you try it, you will not be disappointed. It is so refreshing. Nate tried it for the first time here today, and what do you think about it?
I think it's really good, and it's even better. I didn't have to go fight everyone at the state fair to try it.
Now, I have a question. Is this a layered drink? or is it blended?
So you just pour them in together and it is not layered. They just blend together just kind of naturally. So it's not like you're getting, you know, like a root beer barrel or a yeg shot or black and tan or whatever, yeah, something like that. But it's just called the Black and Blue, and it blends naturally, and you just drink it as a regular, you know, beer. You can sip it, you can chug it, whatever you want to do. But it is one of the better tasting, and it's funny because I brought it in and I go, I have a mixed beer drink that I want you to try, that I want to share with you. And he's like, mixed beer. Never heard of that one before.
It's good, though. I like it.
Good.
I suppose it's very regionally limited. I don't know how far Shells or Grain Belt actually distributes, so you might not be able to get this.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that one either, but locally, at least here, it's phenomenal.
Do you have initial thoughts on your cigar, Mike?
I mean, I'm not excited for it already. It tastes like nothing.
Yeah, the cap is definitely sweet and has taste, but there's not really much taste in the smoke, just a light kind of nothing, I suppose.
I will tell you this, from the last time I was here, that Fireball cigar, it's nothing close to that. It is nothing close to that.
I think that was your favorite thing you've put in your mouth for a while.
Absolutely.
That Fireball.
Absolutely.
That was a good one. All right. So tell us about your new thing here. I've seen the teasers on social media and some of the things. You've been running some online contests and whatnot. So
yeah. So back to what I was saying before a little bit, you know, my business was going up and down a little bit with JTM Sourcing. Decided to start making my own brand, my own logo, things of that sort, and got to a point that a few people were asking me about what I was wearing, my logo, things of that sort, and my dad and my girlfriend actually convinced me that, you know what, you might have something here. Why don't you trademark it and wordmark, you know, the brand name? So that is currently being completed right now, or whatever the process with the U.S. Patent Office is. They're running at about 6 to 9 months behind, and I put it in late July. But the name of the brand is Be The Club, and it took me a little while to come to that brand name because I'm a big time golfer. I got over 80 rounds in this year in golf. And it's a very popular and growing sport right now with a lot of different age groups, demographics, everything of that sort. And I wanted it to be close to golf, but far enough away that it could be a universal type brand. And, you know, my thing was, as you hit the ball, not sure if you guys are golfers or not, but there's kind of a mental phrase that you can kind of say in your head where it's either be the ball, be the club. But as the ball is in flight, you kind of stand there and it's, you know, it's one shot, it's one stare, it's one prayer. And you kind of sit there and you go, be the club, be the club, be the club. And it just kind of stuck with me because you could be part of the club, you could be in the club. What's the club? It could be anything. So I kind of built it to be universal, but close enough to golf that it really is a golf brand.
Sure. And I don't know if you can see my clubs in the back corner of the garage there behind everything. So I didn't quite get 80 rounds in this year or last year. I probably have not played 80 rounds in my entire life, to be honest. But for me, it's a very frustrating, like, walk outside, this golf thing. I had to get one of those little click counters that had the four digits because the three-digit one wasn't doing it for me. So
you know you're only supposed to use that per hole, right? Not, like, the whole time.
I was.
Okay.
No, and I thought it was cool because when I first started seeing the Be The Club, I don't think you had any of the branding out or the logo out. And so I was like, oh, it sounds like, you know, like an exclusive club to be in, you know. And then I saw the Be The Club and I was like, oh, yeah, Be The Ball, you know. And that's probably the same thing with water fountains, whether you call it a water fountain or a bubbler, depending on where in the region, where in the country you're from.
Yeah, that's correct. And for me, it just kind of, you know, Be The Ball just felt too much Caddyshack-y.
Yeah,
and
it sounds
just kinda
a little cheesier too.
Right. And that's where I just kind of built off, you know, I had a few different ones that I was kind of toying with, but they were too exclusive to golf specifically that I didn't want it to be specifically a golf brand. I wanted it to truly be universal to anything and everything that you thought or that you want it to be. And that's kind of the mindset moving forward that I have.
Very cool.
That sounds great. So are you going to manufacture clothing or are you going to do branding? What's your scope? This is the first I've heard, so I'm excited. What are we planning on here?
Yeah. So right away to begin with, with. The plan is to buy and private label shirts, sweatshirts, polos, whatever it is, until we get to a point that kind of manufacturing our own is in the realm of possibility. The great part about it is I do have a business partner that will be helping me out with it. And once we get to a point that it's big enough that it can sort of support itself, the great part about it is we're not really heavily going to be going, we have to make this make, you know, $1 billion. It's, we want to make it grow in the right way so that our quality continues to stay at the level that we want it at. At the same time, we want it to grow fast enough that people are truly going to care about where it is and what our next potential, you know, items and material is when we do get to that point.
Very nice. Very nice. So when is the, maybe you don't want me to ask that question, but when are you going to have your first product launch, do you think?
First product launch is going to be late November is what we're targeting right now. So it's right around the corner here. We're excited about the things that we're doing. We just have to get some of our, you know, government required things in place, you know, tax IDs and things of that sort. But we have, the company is LLC'd. We have the DBA. We have the trademarks are live and pending. We're good to go. It's just, we just got to get a few other things and our ducks in a row to be able to truly sell it, legally sell it. But we're right around the corner here.
Yep. And this episode is coming out Thanksgiving week. So that's why Jordan's on now, because the product might have already launched.
Absolutely. And the cool part about it, and part of why when Nate asked me to be back on here, I was excited about getting back with you guys and talking about it. Not only that, but I'm open to suggestions on a few different things. And I was hoping that kind of a brainstorm session or coming up with some really cool shirt designs and logos and things of that sort, that we could kind of brainstorm some of these cool things that I'm doing myself right now, but come up with other ones as well.
Oh, sure. I'm always a softy for traditional Americana and old school design. So that would always be my recommendation. Make something old new again. It's the easiest way.
Is that like stand for the flag and kneel for the cross, Mike?
No, no. I guess so, but no.
So I don't know if you saw, but I sent you a picture of some of the products that he brought.
I did see.
For a little idea. Great. So
yep.
Most of them say "Be the Club," but he's got one that says "Shower Beer" and one that says "Old Fashioned."
Yep, and I got
a
bunch
cocktail
of
glass.
Yep, I got a bunch of other ones as well. Like I got one where it's a Bloody Mary bar or a Bloody Mary glass of Bloody Mary, and it says "Morning Bloody," you know, and stuff like that. It's just, it's fun. My thing with it is there's a lot of little kitschy type of slogans or type of things, like a shower beer. It's a beer taking a shower. It's a literal picture of a beer taking a shower. But, you know, you talk to a bunch of college-aged guys, and the majority of them know what a shower beer is.
How about a roadie?
A roadie. You know, it's booze cruise, you know, something
you know
like
what you
that.
Could do? You could do like rodeo and do some kind of like beer driving or lassoing or something.
Yeah, so I like that one. I actually did one that my girlfriend was talking to somebody on the phone, and she goes, "Hey, trust me, this isn't my first rodeo." And I go, "Yeah, but like, what if it was your first rodeo?" So I actually have one that's a person that looks like they're an amateur cowboy,
sure,
and it says "First Rodeo" underneath it. So it's just little like things like that. And my idea with that is I want it to feel like it's a familiar brand. I want to feel like, oh, I know this company because I know what that phrase is. So that's kind of been my mindset around kind of building these kind of kitschy type of logos is, and not only that, but they're kind of fun to make as well. And you know, they're goofy, and you know, a beer taking a shower, like what is that? Like, I just think it's funny.
Heck yeah. I don't know if it's a good idea for a shirt, but I always get a kick out of the guys who whine about the lanes or whine about conditions, no matter what you're doing. But it's a condition that everybody has to deal with, and they just want to complain, more or less. The whiners. I'm sure that there's golf whiners that do the same shit.
There absolutely is. There is. Like, you know, somebody is talking too loud. Somebody has their music too loud. Somebody's this. Somebody's that. How did that break right? How did that break left? Every time I'm out here, I'm always hooking or slicing it, and it's like, I've golfed with you 35 times and you do the same thing every time.
What if you did a shirt that had a huge tuft of grass and you could just barely see like the golf ball, and then it would say "good lay" or "good lie" or something, right? Like
that's not bad. I actually have one right now that's very similar to that, and it says "we can find it."
Okay.
So it's kind of the same concept.
Yeah, sure.
I was hoping you were going to say "we can." I was going to be like, "You've never seen that shirt. How do you know that?" But it's just like that. Yep. But it's and I like the good lay. Like that's kind of
a little provocative,
right? And it's one of those things where I'm trying my best to be clean enough for like all the stuff where it's like people feel comfortable wearing everything, telling their mom, their dad to go to our website to look for stuff. These things at the same time, it's a world that we live in where you know kind of that double entendre is what sells. And I mean, you watch Disney movies, and there's a lot of double entendre in Disney movies.
Thank God,
you know,
but my kids love Disney movies.
Right.
And I love double entendre. So.
Right. It's one of those things where it's like you live in this world that's the reality of it. At the same time, it's trying to skirt that line of not being too dirty where somebody's like, oh, that's a bad company. We can't do anything with that.
Yeah. What if you had one that said, don't mind me, I'm just counting my strokes?
That's pretty funny.
I'm not ashamed to say I am not enough of a golfer to even understand that reference.
But Mike likes strokes, so.
Stroking.
Well, counting my strokes is basically all that I do. I don't even adjust for windage or anything. It's just you whack it. Do you remember when Jordan's having a moment over here? I don't know if Mike might remember because you were a meme lord in chief or something. But when the big like meme of the day was send it, you know,
and full
it was
send.
Like, yeah. And it was like George Washington telling the British or something and telling his cannoneers or something like send it. So you could do like windage, question mark, whatever, right? Like the environmental factors. And then it could just be send it at the bottom or whatever. I don't know. Something like that. That's what I do. No wonder I'm frustrated out on the course, right?
Yeah, that's not an ideal way to play golf. And maybe you know, once the weather turns around again for us here in March or April, maybe we can get out there and I can teach you the proper form to golf.
You gonna stand behind me all seductive like with your hands on my hips?
That'll cost you a little bit extra, but
it'll be worth it. Yeah, okay. Because you could also make one. This would be very very like super niche, but. You do what would Nate do? Do the opposite.
Yeah, that's probably something that. How about this? I'll make you a special shirt just for you.
Are you branching below the waist at all, like the banana hammocks, or
not doing banana hammocks? But, okay, you know, maybe
because I feel like that gets my body positioned correctly. To really send the ball.
We are planning to do some shorts, some like joggers, things of that sort.
Sure.
Probably stay away from the undergarment region as a whole, for the time being at least.
Yeah. What about like sweatbands, gloves? You going to do like golf gloves?
Eventually, the plan is to do truly the full...
The golf glove should say, this is my stroking hand?
Maybe.
Oh, you said family appropriate.
More family appropriate than maybe that. and I mean, it's like a rubber type glove. I don't know if you want that necessarily.
There's nurse kinks. I don't know. They wear rubber gloves.
With some additional liquid of some sort on it.
Yeah. Buy our, this is my stroking hand, rubber glove, and get a free case of Diddy Lube.
Okay. Terrible.
I'm being told no. No. HR is telling me no.
So I have a question. I overheard you say it's rubber. So are the new golf gloves not leather anymore? Do they have that rubberizer compound on them now?
There's some that are, you know, still leather, and that's really the preferred. For a lot of people, but it, there's so many different brands that are coming out now that a lot of them you never really know truly, but at the same time, it's all about feel, it's all about grip, it's all about how it makes your hand feel with the club in it to control how you're going to hit the ball. And that's all, you know, most people, and that's how, you know, really good golfers get to be really good, is they understand the control, and it's all about controlling the club face. And, you know, if you can do that without gloves, if you can do it with gloves, if you can do it with, you know, there's a lot of people that are starting to do two gloves, which I think is a little odd yet, just because of, you know, kind of the history of golf and being, you know, one glove. But if it helps you control it better, if it helps you, you know, do a lot of stuff, I'm all for whatever makes you feel as comfortable and being able to hit, you know, the ball the best way that you can.
So you got a glove, like a anthropomorphized glove, right? And it's holding a club. And then underneath it, it says, it's all about the grip.
That's something right there. You got it.
My favorite was from the N64 Hot Wheels Turbo Racing game. And the announcer just randomly throughout the race would be like, grip it and rip it.
Grip and rip it is a great
that's
one.
That's a John Daly thing. Absolutely.
Well, he must have got it from the Nintendo 64.
He stole it from bowling, because that's been a phrase in bowling forever. forever. Goddamn John Daly.
John Daly's been around forever.
I know. I thought he invented bowling.
He might. Yeah, he might have. I think he invented drinking, smoking, and gambling as well.
Well, here's to him then. He was actually in the new Happy Gilmore.
He was. He was Uncle John.
That movie was terrible. I did watch it. It sucked.
I thought it was just as good as the first one, honestly.
You fucking liar.
No, I thought it was just fine. I thought it was perfect. It was way better than Grown Ups.
Wow, that's like...
I liked the first one 100 million times more. I thought that the second one, I thought they did a good job with it until Maxie Golf came in. Once Maxie Golf came in, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've seen in my life.
It's a comedy movie. I didn't mind
it. I thought it was fine until they killed off Happy Gilmore's wife, which I think happened almost immediately. So I don't think I'm ruining it for anybody.
Well, it's been out for a while now, and Adam Sandler movies are Adam Sandler movies, basically. I mean, there's a couple where they're actual serious movies and really good, but... I don't know. I felt like it kept a lot of the same humor. It brought a lot of the people back or made references to a lot of the people in a way that wasn't like the Ghostbusters movie where they tried to shoehorn everybody in a cameo, the female one, right? And they tried to shoehorn everybody in with a cameo, and it flowed, I thought, decently, but...
I did like the fact that Eminem was in it. Yep. I did like that.
I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Maxie Golf either, but it didn't bother me any more than any other plot in any other comedy movie. Honestly,
for me, it was more the fact of they brought him in and then they were speeding around on the golf carts and they were, oh, get this, get 100 points, 1,000 points. It's like, this isn't even golf. Like, that's not, like, golf is golf. Like, going that far and being CGI completely is just like, you lost me there.
Well, and the Maxie Golf was just a kind of a, they threw together a bunch of other different sports instead of making it something new, like the way they were talking about it in the movie. They were like, Maxie Golf, you've never seen golf like this. And they're all like doing all this super training. But if you have to do like golf cart polo and, you know, grown up hydraulic mini golf levitating tables, like the you can't really train for that width of stuff. So I thought it was going to be something crazier that the true golfers would have like zero chance at whatsoever. And the Maxie golfers would be obviously a lot better.
Yeah. I think for me, it's part of it is kind of the traditionalist in me of golf is what it is. At the same time, golf has been great for as long as it's been. And I think there's some tweaks and I don't know what those tweaks are, but I think there's some tweaks that can make golf more exciting or more entertaining. And I think that we see it every 2 years with the Ryder Cup and things of that sort. It's fun to watch that. It's fun to watch alternate shot. It's fun to watch best ball or best shot or scrambles, things of that sort with some of the best golfers in the world. And actually hearing the crowd get excited and cheering and things of that sort. It's, and seeing Rory yell back at the crowd because they're giving him a little hell. And it's just kind of one of those things where it's fun to watch that. At the same time, it's the traditionalist in me kind of goes, well, you got to get a little bit back to what golf is. And it's not, you know, the Shooter McGavin mentality where it's, this is golf, you bunch of animals. You know, it's kind of getting, you know, out there a little bit and enjoying actually being out and golfing versus sitting there and being kind of stuffy and what the old school golf was.
Well, yeah, and you can look and see how far football has come, at least in the gear. And the forward pass wasn't legal for a long time, or nobody even thought to do it. It wasn't that it was illegal. It just nobody thought about doing it. You know, if you brought somebody in from the early days of football and brought them to a game nowadays, you know, and they hadn't been around to see the evolution of it, I don't know that they'd fully recognize it necessarily.
That's what you just said made me think immediately of basketball with the evolution of the three-point shot. You know, and it's funny because you hear a lot of these guys go, oh, these guys couldn't play back in the 80s or the 70s. And it's like, well, what would the guys in the 70s do? The guys in the 70s, if they came today without seeing anything from when they played till today, they would go, what the heck is this? You know, shooting three-point shots. I mean, there's teams that are shooting, you know, 40, 50 three-point shots a game.
Yeah.
And that's just the law of numbers says that by doing that, you're going to naturally score more points than if you take a higher percentage two-point shot. Which seems crazy to me, but the NBA has proven that that's the way that teams win in most cases.
And to make sure we haven't lost Mike, I'm sure bowling has changed, right?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about bowling.
Yeah, with how they with how they block the lanes and all that stuff. Like, that's some...
They put those bumpers up now for these...
That is a great one. That is a great idea for a shirt, by the way, is somebody complaining about a blocked lane. I haven't heard that exact term in a long, long time, but even when guys used that terminology, it was so ridiculous. Like, if the owner is blocking the shot for the owner's benefit, then move where the fucking owner is and roll the ball like that guy does, or woman, or whatever. If it's a blocked shot, if it's truly blocked, go and do it then.
Yeah, like, but like, what if I'm not that good though? I just want something to complain about.
I bowled in a tournament on Sunday. I know that's shocking to everybody.
Was it blocked?
And this, worse. It was the worst. It was the worst that I'm not going to mention his name, but the worst he's bowled in 5 years. Congratulations. And it's like, well, the scoring pace is low. I think the high game for the, everybody bowled a 6-game set, right? So, what would that be? Like 40 guys. 6 games. The highest game that anybody bowled, period, was like a 214, right? And I averaged way above because I had 4 190 games, like, and like 2 doubles for the entirety of the set, right? And this guy bowled like a 106, and we're all supposed to be scratch bowlers, and he was all mad. But on the set he was on, that game that he bowled a 106, 4 guys bowled over 200, right? And I had a 190, so it's not like it's not there. You just got to look at what the other guys are doing and figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. It's not that hard.
Got to bring a bunch of balls for all different lane conditions or something.
Well, I mean, you just need to, if you don't have it, then you got to flatten it out or do figure something out. If other people are scoring and you're not, you're the problem.
I don't know. I think I need to go buy a more expensive ball. I think that's what I need to do.
Yeah. Well, I was throwing plastic. I was swinging plastic. It was old Woodhouse. And it's like, well, you fucking knew that coming in, right? Like,
I might not be a bad shirt, though. I just need to buy better equipment. I promise I'm good. I just need better equipment.
Yeah, I need better equipment. That is a good idea. That's universal, yeah, for sure.
As I say, talking into my new microphone. That Mike's secretly jealous of.
I was
going
to say, on your conversation about sports.
He torpedoed his whole recording setup just to prove a point.
The athletes today are better than the athletes in the 70s. I always enjoy those arguments. Say, if the players from this decade came today, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, the players from the 70s were like hicks and they had no training regimen. I mean, these guys are like super athletes in every sport, regardless. It's not even comparable.
That's the thing that I don't like comparing across generations, because you mean to tell me that in today's day and age, one of the greatest athletes of all time, Wilt Chamberlain, with the training regimen, with, you know, food, with nutrition, with all those things, he wouldn't be even better than what he was back in, you know, the 60s and 70s. I find that hard to believe. It's just a fact of you can't really compare across generations because, you know, a lot of those guys were working summer jobs after the NBA season was done or the NFL season was done or whatever it was, because they weren't making enough money. There was no endorsement deals. The contracts weren't where they are today. I mean, I just saw the other day that, was it Myles Garrett or somebody signed a contract extension in the NFL where he's going to make $46 million a year. And it's like, they play 17 games. He's making $2.5 million a game to play on one side of the ball. That seems crazy to me.
I'd go out and do that. I'd play. I'd take my lumps.
Even for the supposed CTE that you would never get because it doesn't exist.
I don't know what that is.
Something like that.
But I think to be the counterpoint to Mike and Jordan here is there's a documentary that proved that the newer athletes just aren't as good as the older ones. And it's Rocky when he goes and fights the Russian guy and the Russian's hooked up to the computers. And Rocky goes out and like does Russian lumberjack shit and kicks his ass. So you can't tell me the older athletes couldn't do it.
Yeah, that was Rocky 3 where he went to Afghanistan, right?
I got no comment for that one.
I know not everybody's tied into bowling, but similar to Wilt Chamberlain, what you said, they were talking about Earl Anthony and Mark Roth. That was like the big thing. Like, could they bowl in the PBA today? It's like, that's such nonsense.
All right. So Rocky Balboa wants to know, how are the cigars doing?
Mine is definitely, I got more left than you do.
Yes.
And I was actually excited for it right away because it had a nice kind of unique type of honey, cinnamon, apple cider flavor, like whatever that was.
Yeah.
It's pretty just, it's just smoke.
Pretty much.
Like that's literally all I'm getting right now. It's just smoke.
Yeah. I've got about 2 inches left, I think. Inch and a half.
I think that's right. Yep.
I don't know. That was and in the pool.
And I'm at like 3.5.
Yeah, maybe 4. I don't
know. I was not in the pool.
Anyway, yeah, I would agree that it was very sweet at start, but mostly just from the cap. The smoke hasn't tasted like anything. It hasn't been sweet. And, you know, ever since kind of burning off that end cap flavor, there really is not much flavor here. Not even like a subtle honey. Like I don't, and it unreminds me of, we smoked the Tatiana Groovy Blue, which was blue raspberry flavored. And I tasted that for like days after the fact. And the garage smelled like blue raspberry for a week.
Was it phenomenal though?
It was so bad. Really? I mean, well,
because I love blue raspberry.
Okay. Well, then it's your cigar. Like I'm not a big blue raspberry fan and Mike wasn't either, but it was consistent all the way through and it was blue raspberry. And if you like blue raspberry, you will love the cigar. It wasn't that it was a bad cigar. It's just I'm not a huge blue raspberry fan for an hour-long smoke. Where are you at with your cigar, Mike?
Got about an inch and 3/4 left. And just like every other honey-flavored tobacco product on the market, this is garbage. Doesn't taste like anything. It just tastes like cheap pipe tobacco in a little tube that has a sweetened cap.
So I got a question with that, just because of the way you said it. I don't smoke a lot of tobacco at all. And is honey a grabber for people? Like, is that something where it's like, oh, it's honey, like I gotta go and get it, and it just never turns out very good? Or what would you think is kind of the idea behind it?
Yeah, honey is a traditional sweetener for tobacco, especially in lower end products, because you can take a lower grade tobacco, add a sweetener, and it kind of masks some of the sourness in a cheaper tobacco. So where I'm at in my cigar is I can taste that sour note underneath it, where the front half, that honey just kind of masks that sourness. So they can use a cheaper, they can get away with using a cheaper tobacco, basically. And it doesn't taste like anything.
Gotcha.
You know? In the end, it doesn't taste like
anything.
That
makes sense. I like I said, I don't smoke tobacco. I don't do any smoking of any sort, so I don't know what it actually does or doesn't do, but that makes 100% sense to me.
Right, like a honey flavored pipe tobacco is usually just low end pipe tobacco with a honey flavored sugar topping, where you'd be better served getting a nicer blended tobacco that was sweeter due to the composition, not due to there being
makes
a topper
sense
on it.
Okay,
which is what
I would even say. Yeah. I'd go so far to say, you know, and everyone knows that we like the factory smoke sweets, and that's basically just a cigar with a sweetened cap. But that one's good throughout and actually tastes like something, whereas this one doesn't really taste like anything. But I thought of another shirt idea for you, Jordan. You could do, I only smoke on the course, because there's a lot of people that, you know, socially smoke, or I only drink on the course. You could do both, you know, I only smoke when I stroke.
So, Jordan, I only smoke when I stroke. Nice.
I only smoke when I'm over par. Which is all the time.
Yeah.
Over par.
I got high score on a golf course once. They asked me never to come back.
You know, that's the funny thing about golf is, even like with bowling, the less you bowl, the better you're doing, because you're getting strikes.
Yeah.
With golf, the less golf you play, the better you're doing. It's like, I want to see the whole course.
But you still have to walk the whole way.
Well, you could ride
the
car.
Or ride the car, yeah.
I walk 90%.
You're still covering the same distance, yeah. I guess. Ooh, here's another one. It could be like a sand trap or like a water trap. And it could be like, I'm taking the scenic route. Or you could do the Tolkien, you know, like, not all who wander are lost. I'm just looking for my ball.
I like the Lord of the Rings idea. I'm a big sucker for Lord of the Rings.
The only thing with that, which I don't know if it would be or wouldn't be, if it's a iconic line, is if they have it trademarked or wordmarked or anything of that sort. Because I have to try to be as careful as possible with anything, you know, just do it or anything of that sort, where it's like, I can't.
Well, you could do not lost looking for my ball, too. You could shorten it up, which you might want to do anyway for a shirt, depending on how big you want the graphic to be or how much the wearer wants to advertise that they're not very good at the sport.
For sure.
Which I wouldn't mind. But
yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty open about it.
I mean, if you're good enough, other people's opinions
are irrelevant.
Or if you're
arrogant enough, in my case.
Well, yeah. Arrogance goes along with complaining about things. Like, thanks for making me bowl the worst game I've had in 5 years.
Everybody else did good but me. This lane sucks.
Yeah, like, what's the scoring pace? Okay, so we know this one guy. He's bowling 190s and he's happy. Wow. Like, I'm just
well,
saying.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of, like, to me, because we talked last time, like, I'm a big bowler, and we do have to try to bowl sometime with each other. I think that'd be awesome to do, to get together and everything. But besides the point,
yeah.
I think that's the thing with a lot of the amateur or partial high amateur type bowlers, is the reason why the professional bowlers are so good is they're able to adjust within one or two shots. These amateurs, all they know how to do is hit that second arrow every single time. And if it's not hitting that second arrow every single time because the lane is oiled a little differently, or, you know, they're playing on wood versus something else or whatever it may be, I think that that's where the difference between really, really good bowlers and these high amateurs that are going to complain about, oh, well, it's blocked or this, blah, 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 blah. It's, you just have to make the adjustment for it. Like, that's all it is. Like, figure out how to make the adjustment.
Here's another shirt idea. I only play with house balls. I don't. I mean, I have my own ball, but usually if somebody's like impromptu inviting me to play, I don't remember all my bowling lessons. So my ball is one of those ones you got to spin or whatever. Okay, Jordan's looking at me like I am
not all with it, but whatever.
You know, it's funny though, because if somebody asks me to bowl impromptu, if I don't have my bowling ball, I will politely say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go bowling. I need to have my bowling ball, because it's just the way it fits my hand, the way everything, it just, I have to bowl with my bowling ball. I can't bowl with a house ball. Like, come on.
I can bowl with a house ball, but shoes. I got to have my own bowling shoes. I can't fall, and I slide pretty hard. So I can bowl with a house ball. I mean, that doesn't bother me.
I think the difference is that you two play these sports for playing the sport, and I play these things to drink beer.
I can drink at home.
That's why I'm not bowling and golfing all the time, because I also can drink beer at home.
True story.
I mean, it's like, hey, do you want to watch a movie and drink some beer? Or do you want to go bowling and drink some beer?
You want to put some money on it or not?
There we go.
Money.
A back rub?
Life is better with money on the line.
That's right.
There's another shirt for you.
Can be. It can be. Back to what you said, Jordan. I agree with you about the professionals being able to adjust a lot faster. And I think that a lot of amateurs, and myself included at times in my life, they have a delusional sense of how good they are. And it's made worse by the fact they only bowl one or two leagues a week. And it's always on a house shot at the easiest
right,
house
and it's always
area.
At the because I mean and, let's be honest, truthfully, I'm not in any leagues, but if I was, hypothetically, I live in Southern Metro. There's two bowling alleys that I've gone to. One of them, I like the lanes a lot better there and I score better. The other one, I just have never been able to truly figure out the lanes. If I were to be in a bowling league, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go to the one that I score better at regularly. That's what I'm going to be doing. So exactly what you were saying, somebody's going to go and they're going to pick whatever lane or whatever house they're going to be bowling better at. And they kind of get that delusional aspect of how good they truly are, because they can bowl really good once or twice a week at this one place.
Yep. And they... So I do the opposite. I bowl at the hardest alley in my region, and I average in the 190s at this old ass house where they have this strange German short oil pattern that's intended for spinners. And then I try to bowl on it with a 430 rev rate at 17 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's hard on purpose, because if I go to one of the easier shots, I mean, yeah, I'm going to bowl good score, but I'm not really, I'm just being lazy, you know? And I can only bowl once a week. I'm not bowling more than once a week. And I'm fine with not being as good as a lot of bowlers. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a professional bowler. I do it for enjoyment. So, still want to get better.
Speaking about enjoyment, and not to drastically change the topic, although my cigar is falling apart and I'm getting Scooby Snacks, and it's super loose. I don't know if yours got really loose at the end, Mike, but it is Thanksgiving week.
Mine is completely devolved.
Mine is well on its way, but it is Thanksgiving week. So, does anyone have a favorite Thanksgiving food or anything you look forward to particularly extra for Thanksgiving meal? I know Jordan's a big food guy.
I am a big food guy, and it probably surprised you. I really am not a turkey fan. I've never really had a very good turkey. That, for the most part, it's, you got to put a lot of gravy on it. You got to put cranberry sauce, whatever you got to do on it. I'd rather just be able to eat the turkey straight, and I've never had like a really good straight turkey. So I normally like to do chicken. I love chicken. I'll eat chicken every single day of the week. Chicken is my favorite thing ever. I've just never really had a good turkey, but growing up, when we had family get-togethers, one of my aunts used to bring scalloped corn.
Okay.
Super good. It's like cream corn, but it's like there's like some other stuff in it. I have no idea how it's made.
Sure.
But if you look it up, scalloped corn, phenomenal. She used to also bring a fruit pizza. If you've ever had fruit pizza, one of the best things ever. It's a like a sugar cookie on the bottom and then cream cheese and then fruit on top. And it you cut okay. it in the shape of a pizza and it's called fruit pizza. Hy-Vee has it.
Okay.
One of the best things like dessert-wise. But those are like the two things that I always remember from like growing up that I always look forward to is those two things.
Sure. What about you, Mike?
Well, my wife makes fruit pizza for 4th of July, so I do know what you're talking about. But mine's only stuffing. I don't like turkey. It's garbage. I like stuffing with a little bit of cranberry sauce on it, as I restrict myself to not eating stuffing unless it's a holiday.
Yeah, stuffing is good. I always like the green bean casserole. I know that can be hit or miss sometimes with people, but I like that. I like cheesy potatoes.
So we both said that turkey was not great. How do you feel about turkey?
Yeah, I feel okay about turkey. I guess I've been lucky in having people that have prepared the turkey well. It doesn't excite me, though. You know what I mean? Like, I have a thing. I don't really enjoy eating meat off of bones. So, not a huge fan.
So like chicken wings, you're not a chicken wing fan in that scenario?
No, not really.
Okay.
But I like chicken. I like turkey.
You know what's crazy?
I just don't get excited about that kind of stuff.
You know what's crazy about that, though? I'm not a huge turkey fan, but you know those big-ass turkey legs that you get at like the Renaissance
fair
or something?
Yeah,
I will eat those things all day long. So I don't know if it's just like the way it's prepared.
It's probably.
Or if it's the fact that I'm eating it like a freaking barbarian.
Could be something primal.
I don't know what it is, but like those things are amazing. But regular like turkey breast or it always seems too dry or like
sure.
just not good. Like it just isn't good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, turkey is not the draw.
I agree with that. They don't inject it. If you inject it, maybe people don't take care
you
of the turkey.
Baste it.
That's why it's
baste
never good. It. Yeah, do something. It's like eating a sage grouse without actually preparing it correctly. You know,
it's almost like enjoying this cigar that we're doing right now. We just can't do it.
Yeah, we both put our cigars out because I'm eating more of it. It's like disintegrating in my mouth, and I have to be very careful holding it so I don't like squeeze it and have everything pop out of it. So I guess we should do some ratings, unless you're still going strong on your cigar, Mike.
No, I put mine out quite a bit ago.
I figured. Okay, Tatiana Honey. I'm going to give it a 1. Give it a 1. What do you want to give it, Jordan?
What's it out of?
5.
0.5.
Okay.
It like comparatively speaking, from the only cigar I've smoked in the last 5 years is that Fireball.
Yeah.
Compared to that one, I would cut off my left arm to get the Fireball cigar again compared to having to smoke that again.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm a little generous with the 1. I don't know. We'll see what Mike says. Mike's usually got good insights.
So I think you're both being a little unfair. Okay. I'm going to give it a 1.5. Yeah. It's not
you're
a 2.
In the wrong, you're
but it's
in the
not
wrong.
A 1. It's not disgusting.
On the sheet,
I mean,
behind the scenes administration.
That's a neat.
So 1.5 for a cigar that falls apart.
Whatever. 1.5. I mean, all the Tatianas fall apart. It's because they're how they're made, right? Like, that's just part of the gig. I'm really rating it more on the flavor. And it's not disgusting.
Yeah, that's
it's just
true.
Not very good. Whereas, like, the cult. Blood Red Moon is disgusting, but well made. None of these Tatianas are well made. I mean, they're cigar. It's a cigar wrapper with a, you know, a flavoring that wrapped around finely shredded tobacco that is cased. So it's just not going to hold up. It's just how they're made. So I'm not going to judge it too harshly on that. But the flavor isn't there. It tastes like nothing. It's low-grade tobacco with a honey case, just like every other honey-flavored product
that you buy. I think you are so much too polite
I don't
with that.
Recommend.
Well, next. Yeah, I know. Next, Mike.
I'm
is
still
gonna,
waiting for a sponsorship,
us we landed a huge Tatiana sponsorship, and we'll be chewing tobacco leaves for the rest of our lives.
It just wasn't
it's not
what
a style
I was,
of cigar
I was,
that I would support.
I mean, you guys set a high bar the last time I was here, and... this one definitely, to me, fell flat. It did.
Well, and truly, that Fireball one was a very pleasant surprise for all of us. I mean, we were expecting that to be
not very good. Not very good, like, really. And it was like vanilla-y. Like,
yeah.
It just had a nice, subtle... you know, fireball flavor to it with vanilla. Like, it was
well, it paired really well with the fireball.
It really did.
Because if it would have actually been fireball flavored, it would have been too much fireball.
Absolutely. I think they did a great job with whatever they did.
Yeah.
They need to keep doing that.
Yes. Yes. And check the episode description for the Be the Club website. And don't get the Tatiana honey, but get the fireball instead. And big thank you for Jordan for coming on and introducing us to the Black and Blue and giving us some sweet, sweet, sweet Be the Club swag.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate being here. Feel free to go out and follow Be the Club on Facebook, Instagram. Facebook, it's Be the Club. On Instagram, it's Be the Club Fam. FAM. Feel free to go out there. We are going to be continuing to give out free stuff. Right now, we just want to get out and have people try our stuff on, enjoy our stuff. And, you know, we're always open to suggestions of new things. We're thinking about trying to do a customer submission of logos and things of that sort. And that'll be our logo of the month or something of that sort. So feel free just to reach out to us and we're happy to see or create what you're thinking and excited to be part of this and looking forward to potentially being on here again in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening.
Be safe. Have fun.